opinions expressed on this podcast do not necessarily reflect those of the management of Louisville.am and Veritas New Media, a Louisville.am production.
Head coach of the Western Kentucky Hilltoppers, Jeff Brock. Today I'm with Matt Jones, Kevin Harnett, Pat 40. I'm with Anoush Sariot, Kristen Wall, United States Congressman John Yarman, Sarah Brophanser, and...
Welcome to the Rusty Satellite Show with your host, Rick Redding. The show airs every week exclusively here on the Louisville.am podcast network. Rick's ready to start ranting and raving about his hometown right now. So, here's Rick.
And here we are once again on the Rusty Satellite Show. Your host is me, Rick Redding. I have been doing this show for a little over 3 years now. Rusty Satellite Show number 165 features some of the most interesting people in the Ville. This week, I've got a music-inspired show for you. I have both the city's best and premier mandolin picker on the show in Mr. Hickory Vaught, and also a guy that has been in town for a week but has a very important job. He's the new man in charge over the Kentucky Opera. Ian Derer is on the show today, and I'm was pleased to meet him. He seems like a great guy. Loves the city, even though he's lived in some really bigger markets like New York, Chicago, and Dallas. A week in, he really likes the city of Louisville. All right, so this show is brought to you each and every week by my friends at Passport Health Plan. You'll hear a commercial from them coming up in the very near future, and from my good buddies at the Eye Care Institute, which is the best place in town to get LASIK. I tell you, right there on their website, I met this guy, Dr. John Meyer. He has performed more than 7,000 laser vision correction procedures. So if you're going to think about getting a laser, you want somebody with experience and expertise. You can call up the Eye Care Institute at 589-1500. That's 502-589-1500, and get checked out for LASIK. And you can get to meet, like I did, Dr. John Meyer over there at the Eye Care Institute. All right, well, let's get on the show. And I am going to go right up front and apologize and tell you a little story about what happened with my first guest this week. It was a great day. I went over on Tuesday afternoon to Captain's Quarters on the river and sat outside with Hickory Vaught and my photographer, Bill Breimer. And we had a great time. Hickory got out his mandolin and he started playing a little bit, and then we ordered some food and the food was great. And then when we were doing the recording for the show, about halfway in, I guess, we shifted positions, I guess you would say, and somehow I dropped the recorder, and we thought, oh no, we're gonna have to do the whole thing over again. And then we said, no, well, I'm sure we've already recorded the first part. We'll just pick it up right there and record the rest of it, and we'll have the show. We'll just put it together. Simple thing in broadcasting to edit together a show. But then disaster struck. I got back to the studio today on Wednesday and discovered that the recording that we were making, when I did drop the recorder, that fumble, so to speak, it's football season, that fumble caused the entire recording to be lost. So all we're going to have today the shortest Rusty Satellite Show interview ever, and it's a shame because Hickory Vaught is an engaging personality and a fun guy to talk to. I'm going to have him on the show again. That's all there is to it. But I've got like 3 or 4 minutes, which includes some mandolin playing on there. And I'm going to tell you a little bit about what you missed in that first part of the interview. Hickory is a mandolin player. He has been 12 years playing down at the he's got a regular gig on Thursday nights at the Marriott Blue, the restaurant inside the Marriott downtown. And he is a native of Floyd's Knobs, Indiana. And he grew up in a family of musicians, playing all the time. And in fact, he's got three children, and all three of them have got the music bug, and they're playing music professionally. One of them is in his band, and Hickory spent a lot of time on the road, and he's done a lot of living and done a lot of drinking. He is an ambassador for several bourbon brands, and the way I met him was several years ago at the Haymarket. They were doing a premiere of a new show called that was about the bluegrass and bourbon. And Bernie Lubbers, who was on one of the very first shows here, was sort of the narrator of the show. Hickory and his buddies provided the music. It was one of the most entertaining nights of my life. I really enjoyed it and learned a lot about bourbon and the bluegrass. And I'll talk more about that later in the show. But anyway, now Hickory is sort of, he's making a living as a musician. He lives up in Prospect. Captain's Quarters was a favorite place for him to go, and he was sipping on a little bourbon and an unsweetened iced tea as we were talking. But it was my fault on the dropping of the recorder. I will say that, not him. So anyway, that's what's different here about the Rusty Satellite Show. We're only going to have about 3 minutes of Hickory, but I would encourage you, if you're interested in hearing him play down, you can go down to the Marriott any Thursday night. But this weekend is the Kentucky Bluegrass and Bourbon Festival down at the Water Tower. They have these three festivals a year, one's for reggae, one's for blues, and this one is for bluegrass. And there's a lot of bourbon there, and wisely, Hickory has hooked up with... made the connection between bluegrass and bourbon and plays a lot of history events. He still does that show with Bernie Lubbers. And I really enjoyed spending time having lunch with Hickory and Bill down there at Captain's Quarters. I'm sorry I lost half the interview, but you'll like this part. It's only about 3 or 4 minutes, but listen in, and I'll be back with more after the interview.
No matter how young and healthy you are, life can be full of unpleasant surprises. And without health insurance, even a short hospital stay could set you back thousands of dollars. If you qualify for expanded Medicaid, you can get coverage through Passport Health Plan. Find out if you qualify. Call 855-459-6328 or go online at kynect.ky.gov. Choose Passport, the plan that takes the time to care.
Well, Hickory, I know you've got a regular gig, and I'm just wondering about, if people come down to the Marriott, what kind of show are they gonna see down there?
What we like to call that bourbon and influenced music. We stress a lot of the libation of bourbon and bluegrass influenced music, which we don't always cover traditional sounding bluegrass, but with the instrumentation that we have, it gives a good... gives a good reflection of what it would be with some modern songs as well. You know, what the folks want to hear.
It's pretty cool. You've been down there so long, they got a picture of you on the side of the building.
Yeah, there's a likeness of me on the side of the building there. I'm a little older now, but we've been there 12 years and hope we'll stay another 12. And if you folks are in town, come on down and see us from 9 to midnight on Thursday nights.
At the Marriott Downtown Blue, which is an exciting place to do that. So it's called Bourbon and Bluegrass. So they pay you in bourbon?
Well, you know, they give us some, yeah.
There you go. Well, it's very exciting and to know that, you're a native of this area and you love playing in this area. And out here at the Captain's Quarters, you play a lot, too.
Oh, well, you know, we do come out here several times during the season and play. I play with a larger band than the... my bluegrass group, the Huckleberries, and it's a little more 70s style music and more kind of, like I said, what the people want to hear is kind of what we play, but very bluegrass oriented with the instrumentation there as well.
Okay, well, it sounds great. I mean, I'm just sitting here at the Captain's Quarters. We're watching the world go by, and it's just a good thing that you've been. I mean, it's amazing to me you've been able to make this career 30 plus years.
It really is. Well, really the last 15 years just with entertaining and helping promote good small batch bourbons.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, that's great. Well, why don't you take us out with a little music, and we'll end this part of the show with that. Thank you.
I'm Steve Coombs, and each week, Rick Redding and I record a new episode of Eat, Drink, Talk. We'll fill you up and fill you in on what's happening in Louisville's thriving drinking and dining scene. We bring you food news, interviews, and our take on what's happening around town. Find us on iTunes and download Eat, Drink, Talk.
All right, well, we appreciate Hickory playing that little mandolin interlude the first time ever on the Rusty Satellite Show. I do promise that I will get Hickory back at some other time, and we'll do a full 12-minute interview. That'll be a lot of fun, and I hope you got to know a little bit about Hickory anyway. Anyway, so let's move on, and I hope that you are listening to this on Thursday, because, you know, sports fans around here have a big day Thursday night, and we're all looking forward to it. It's the University of Louisville home football opener against Charlotte, really? I guess everybody has to have a patsy. UofL is a 39-point favorite in that game. I'll be up there in the UPS flight deck at about the 40-yard line with my buddies, Mark Hebert and all the gang are up there every year. We've got a big tailgate planned. It's all going to be fun. It's all great. And it's all finally here. I tell you, it cracks me up sometimes listening to talk radio, sports talk radio. And I'm not criticizing anybody here. I just think it's kind of funny. Like, here's a typical exchange that I heard this weekend on a local sports talk radio show. Well, we're almost here for the game is almost here. I'm so excited. I can't believe it's here. We haven't had a game since last December. And then the other guy says, yep, it's last December. That Texas A&M was the last game. We've been waiting a long time, and it's finally here. Yep, we sure have waited a long time for this game. It's finally here. You know, it just goes on and on like that. So it's kind of funny, but it is finally here, and those guys in sports radio have a lot of time to fill, so they have to do their best. Unfortunate news in the football world, though. Teddy Bridgewater of the Minnesota Vikings, former UofL quarterback, suffered a season-ending injury to his ACL this week, so puts a sort of a a lot of UofL fans are really big supporters of Teddy's. Because not only is he a great player, but he is a great individual, a great guy, and does the right things and all that. So anyway, that's the big event for Thursday night here in town. And if you remember, I was on the a couple weeks ago, I had Nathan Keepers, who is the director of the new play at Actors Theater. That premieres in the same night as the football game. Unfortunately, of course, I'm choosing the football game over that, but I am going to the play, The 39 Steps, on Friday night. Love to have you join me there. It's much anticipated premiere. First-time director Nathan Keepers at Actors Theater, The 39 Steps. A big event for the weekend, along with the Kentucky Bluegrass and Bourbon Experience. It seems like every weekend we've got all this stuff going on, and that's great. It's great. I was talking to a guy that was in my car the other day. He was here from Alaska, and it's just fun to, like, when I'm driving around for Uber and telling people from out of town about all the things going on in this city. It's just really amazing. You know, last weekend was mind-boggling. The Flutag, the Brew at the Zoo, the 7 Cents Festival, all that stuff was going on. And so we try to chronicle it all on LouisvilleKY.com and on EatDrinkTalk.net. EatDrinkTalk.net is my food and dining site. Operate with Steve Coombs, who on Thursday is celebrating a birthday, which is all great. I, of course, celebrated a birthday on Sunday, and my lovely girlfriend Paula gave me a wonderful present. It was a trip, a bourbon tour experience, and we went on a tour bus, just like regular tourists, and it was a blast. We went down to the Heaven Hill Distillery for that experience, and we also went to a Four Roses thing. We went to Jim Beam, and we went to Maker's Mark, and we did it all in the span of like 6-7 hours. I don't know. I guess it might have been longer than that. We left at 8:30 in the morning and got back at 5 or 6 at night, and it was just a wonderful day and experience. If you ever haven't done a bourbon experience, a bourbon tour experience, I encourage you to do so. It's a lot of fun. We had some great people with us. Our tour guides, the company is called Kentucky Tours, and Ken himself is the leader of that that business, and his wife Susie. They've been married for 50 years, and they love taking people out on the road. He was a bourbon salesman for 27 years, and once was the also did tours over the Kentucky Derby Museum. So Ken knew his shit, knew what he was talking about, and it was a thoroughly entertaining experience. The folks that were with us, there were two couples that we didn't know until that day. They were the two guys were in the Army, and they lived in North Carolina and Virginia, respectively. And we just had a ball with them and learned a lot. I wrote a story about this on the Eat, Drink, Talk, Not Net website, so I encourage you to go over there, take a look, and read about my experience. I came home with a bottle of Knob Creek, single barrel. It had an etched Rusty Satellite in it, and I'm trying to decide whether to drink it or not. I don't know if you have any thoughts on that. Should you save a bottle, a special bottle, for a special occasion, or should you just enjoy the spirits inside, and then you can save the empty bottle, I guess. Maybe fill it up with something else. That's the plan. I think I will drink it and then fill it up with some brown water and put it on the shelf and so everybody can admire it. That sounds like a plan, doesn't it? Okay. Now, the other big event, always on Memorial Day and Labor Day, I try almost always to participate in the mayor's hike, bike, and paddle event and ride my bike with all the people, thousands of people. We go either to... all the ones I can remember, we either go down to Iroquois Park from Waterfront Park, we go down to Iroquois Park and back, or we go out to Shawnee Park and back. And one of the things that I always do is I try to get there early enough to get Jackie Green to check my air pressure on my tires. I bought my bike from Jackie, his bike shop down there on the Bike Courier bike shop on Market Street. And I always like to do that, but Jackie, you know, ran for mayor. He's very outspoken about transportation issues especially. So I just got this email from him. I thought you might be interested in this. He is boycotting the event this year. Now, why would a bike guy who owns a bike shop boycott a city biking event? That's the question. Okay, so I got a hint that there was a problem last year when I went to see Jackie. He has a sign up by his little booth saying he's complaining that the event, the hike, bike, and paddle event, disrupts the TARC schedule. And people that depend on TARC to go to work or to go to wherever they need to go on that holiday, on that Monday morning at about 9, 10 o'clock, their lives are disrupted. And As Jackie put in his email, the result is that laborers will be late to work, possibly miss work altogether. As a result, the laborer may lose a needed job, and as crisis often escalates for those who live on the edge, the loss of that job might lead to the loss of housing, the disruption of families, and the personal chaos which follows. The inconveniencing of TARC riders extends well beyond laborers. Mothers trying to buy groceries, children trying to visit grandma, students trying to attend community events, seniors trying to get to a pharmacy, will all find their transportation delayed or denied. So it's sort of a one-man campaign that Jackie has. I don't know that the mayor's office is going to give much credence to Jackie's complaints. Jackie, the one thing is, the bike ride could take an alternate route that doesn't disrupt the TARC schedule. We could go, and I would love to do this. You could take that whole thing, the whole bike thing, down River Road. And you could just choose how far to go. I mean, I'd say go about 6 miles out, maybe go to Prospect and back, and not disrupt as many TARC schedules. It would disrupt the traffic on River Road, of course. But anyway, that's what's going on with the a little news associated with the hike, bike, and paddle event. That, you know, I think Jackie said, let's see, how long has that been going on? It has been going on... at least 10 years, certainly more than 10 years. And Jackie's been involved every Memorial Day and Labor Day since the very first one started under Mayor Jerry Abramson. So anyway, that's an interesting idea to confront, and Jackie's an unconventional thinker, so there's something for you to think about. I hope you'll still join me down there on Monday, I hope to be down there with my bike and riding along with all my friends, and we have all kinds of people. John Gilderblum, the U of L professor, a good friend of mine, he usually shows up. And John, if you're listening, be sure and call me before the race. All right? Okay, now, I do want to talk about one serious story while I've got you here on the Rusty Satellite Show, and that is what the headlines are in this city that, you know, it's tragic, really. It's tragic. So let me read you the top four headlines in the Courier Journal right now on Wednesday afternoon. Overdoses slam Louisville hospitals, one dead. Second headline, guns found in no middle student's backpack. The third story, two found shot to death in a car near Beachmont. And finally, more than 200 overdoses reported in region. So there's a bunch of stories tied up in here, and one that that really gets me, I guess, is one that was from earlier in the week where a 12-year-old shot a 10-year-old and killed him. Okay, now that story, I'm going to try to get into some of these issues, but the idea that a 12-year-old shoots a 10-year-old with a gun that he found in his house that is owned by his mother. Okay, and my problem is this: I'm certainly for some controls on guns, and certainly the gun crisis in our country is serious, and you know, I'm not trying to tell you that I think we should ban guns or oh shoot, Obama's going to tell me to take my guns. No, that it's not like that. But when people have accidents because of negligence, and the police have already said there's going to be no prosecution in this case. There no crime has occurred because a woman who had a registered gun left it out where her son could pick it up and shoot his brother and kill him. Yeah, and that's not a crime. I don't know. The police said there will be no charges in this case. That is one of the stories. They happen all the time, and I think the police should prosecute that mother for leaving a gun out. I mean, if you want to be a responsible gun owner, you got to know better than to leave guns where your children have access to them. It's very simple. Okay, now moving over to this overdose story. Apparently, a strain of heroin has gotten into our region that is deadly. It's much more potent and kills people. Now, I don't understand how people, get hooked on heroin. It's beyond my, beyond what I can fathom in my brain, how you would get hooked on something like heroin. But people do it. It's an epidemic in this town. I've talked a lot about what's going on in J-Town, where they have this program where you can turn yourself in. But look, can you imagine? All these people are regular heroin users are getting hold of this bad stuff, and it is killing some of them. They're overdosing. And a doctor up at Norton had a special press conference on Tuesday night, an emergency press conference, to announce that this was going on and to tell these people, these addicts out there, to beware of this strain of heroin that's going around. It's really a very, very serious problem. And I wish I could tell you I have some solution for it. I don't. And nobody does. And a lot of the crime that happens in the city is related to the heroin epidemic. And I would bet you that that these unexplained murders. You know, we're up to almost, I think it's 79 murders in this city, which is the number that we had in all of last year. And this summer and this month has been particularly tough in that area. And law enforcement just doesn't seem to have a solution to it. I'm not sure there is. You can ask people to get along, to stop stealing from each other, stop getting mad at each other. It's not going to help. Some of this is. The other story I remember from the news last week was that when a 14-year-old boy was gunned down with 20, the police estimated 20 people saw it happen, and not one of them was a witness to turn in the shooter. It's a real problem, and it's not just confined to one part of the city. It's all over the place. So Anyway, that's my Debbie Downer for the week in terms of news. I'm sorry to bring that to you. There's a lot of great stuff going on, a lot of great events. I would encourage you to, again, look at LouisvilleKY.com and EatDrinkTalk.net for some of the great events that are going on in our city. We got a lot of them going on this weekend. And one of the things we can also look forward to is this great cultural setting that we have here in Louisville. And one of those, if you don't know the story of the Kentucky Opera, you're about to hear from Ian Dare, who's been there a full week in the job as the director of the Kentucky Opera. Now he took over tragically a year or so ago. A man named David Roth, who was widely respected in all of the arts community, passed away, and Ian Dare is his successor and has great plans for the opera. And I am not a big fan of opera, but I think I want to go see this Madame Butterfly. I tell you, it sounds like a very interesting and entertaining piece, and it is planned. I had on this show last year, I think, Joey Mikovich, who was directing some of the works down at the Opera House. So anyway, I thought it'd be good for you to be introduced to the leader, the new leader of the Kentucky Opera. His name is Ian Dare, and you can watch on my sites and all over town for news about the upcoming performances. I think the first one is on September 23rd, so that's something you can look forward to. And I want to get out of the way here and let you hear from Ian himself.
As a first-time mom, I have to admit, I really didn't know what to expect. But the people at Passport did. Besides covering me and my baby for maternity care and checkups, they offered me extra rewards for things I really needed, like gift cards so I could buy a crib or car seat, and gift cards for groceries and gas. All I had to do to earn these rewards was join their Mommy Steps program for new moms and keep my doctor's appointments, things I was going to do anyway. When they say, "We take the time to care," they really mean it. That's why I choose Passport.
Why will you choose Passport? Call 1-800-578-0603. That's 1-800-578-0603. And choose Passport. 1-800-578-0603. Passport Health Plan. We take the time to care.
And today it's almost opera season, I guess, and I am at the offices of Kentucky Opera with the newest, 1 week into his job, Ian Dare. The new, tell me your title.
General Director.
General Director. Director.
That's
top
it.
Guy.
That's it.
The main man in charge here at the opera. And it must be an exciting time to move to Louisville and start something new.
Well, not only Louisville, but I mean, just to come to Kentucky at this time of year, I'm getting accustomed to the heat,
okay.
which is a lot to say, coming from Dallas. But the humidity here is not to be believed. But all of that's in hand, and I think that Louisville itself, I was just struck by how beautiful it is, and how green and lush the whole city is, and all these beautiful parks. So that's been the thing that's kind of taken me by surprise a bit.
Well, 1 week in, if you've seen some of the parks, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
Now you have a rich background in working with some of the greatest operas in the country, right? Now,
I've been very lucky.
Sort of a overview of some of the places you've been.
Well, my most immediate city was Dallas, where I worked for Dallas Opera for 2 years before coming here. And then before that, I was in Chicago, working for Lyric Opera of Chicago for 8 years.
Okay.
And Chicago is a city that, I mean, it's one of the great opera companies of the world, without a doubt. And before that, City Opera in New York. I was in New York for about 5 years before then. So, I've been very lucky.
New York, Chicago, Dallas, and
Louisville.
Okay.
Exactly.
All right. Well, interesting career path. Now, getting this job is very exciting. Unfortunately, I know the tragedy behind your predecessor.
Yeah.
But you're taking over, I guess, some of the things that he got started.
Well, this season, I mean, it was planned, tragically after David died. the board stepped up and they had Joey Mekovich, who I gather has been a guest on your show
well.
And they planned this season and they put together a season that is really, really well balanced. It's a popular season. All of these titles are you know, familiar to a lot of people outside of opera lovers as well.
Sure.
The Mikado, you have Madame Butterfly, which is one of the most famous operas ever, and then a gem of a Mozart opera called The Abduction from the Seraglio. So they put together this season, and I'm just ecstatic that the next season is also going to be something that I get to plan. So
Okay. It's
one of those things that you know, I came in and already a beautiful thing was already laid out. Uh-huh. And so I consider myself to be very lucky to be able to ride on those coattails a little bit for the first year.
Okay.
But we'll follow in that same vein. We're going to have a three-season opera in 17, 18, and, you know, we'll soon be able to announce what that's going to be as well. But
Okay. One
of my goals is to kind of connect the dots in between those opera performances throughout the year.
Okay. Yeah, and for even somebody like me who doesn't know a lot about opera, I know of Madame Butterfly.
Sure.
Tell me about that production. And
well, this production is one that we are it's Talise Trevine is a soprano who has not been with Louisville before, but she is actually a rising star, and
okay.
she has a lot of great things coming up, and she just had a great success in Bard earlier this summer, and she's a wonderful singing actress, and that's the thing that you need for this role. Not only you need a voice that is tremendous, which she has, but you also have to have an actress that can pull off all the elements of tragedy, and this opera is one of those that never leaves a dry eye in the house, that's for
okay.
sure.
Okay.
And it has a notorious the B.F. Pinkerton, the American sailor that comes in is kind of the bad guy in this situation as well. So it runs the gamut. This is an opera that's filled with tragedy and beauty at the same time.
Okay. And that's coming up soon,
yeah,
right?
At the end of September we have two performances on the 23rd, and then the 25th is a matinee.
Okay, so any listeners that want to come, it's September 23rd is the date here.
That's
now,
it.
I am curious in always about the career path and how somebody gets to be a general director of an opera. Did you grow up as a fan, as an opera fan? Where did you grow up, and where did you get your interest?
Well, I grew up as a thinking I was going to be an opera singer, and
mm-hmm.
my parents both sang in an amateur chorus in North Carolina, and they would bring me to rehearsals, to opera chorus rehearsals as a kid, and
wow.
just kind of park me in the back there, and I started to get an affinity for the operas themselves, and I joined the chorus and the children's chorus, and then later as a teenager in the chorus itself there in Charlotte, North Carolina, and pursued a degree in voice, got a degree in voice, in fact, a master's in voice as well, but eventually found myself getting pulled to other aspects of the career. I was fascinated by directing and stage managing, and I cobbled together a career that did a lot of those various things.
Okay.
And finally, it all seemed to come together when I was in New York, and I realized that administration pulled together all of those things in a way that really, really, really interested and fascinated me, and I mm-hmm. seemed to have an aptitude for it. So it came together that way.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, I don't miss singing, I can tell you that.
Well, I've never heard you sing, but I'm sure you're good at it.
I don't know anymore.
They don't let you get out on stage during rehearsals or anything around here.
I don't think so. I wouldn't hire me right now.
Well, tell me a little bit about, you know, this is a big position here. You're a weekend, so you know, at this point, you know, you're just getting your finding out where everything is, but you must have some sort of big picture plans for the Kentucky Opera.
Yeah. I think the big picture plan is to continue to grow. And I really want to see the footprint of the company go further out into the state. And I want to see our level of responsibility and education increase in schools and also in the community, and making sure that they're bringing people back to the opera over and over again. I want somebody that comes as a student to want to come back later in life. And that's the educational component for me, is not just, you know, making sure that we do our duty to go out into the schools outside of our geography here in Louisville, but really find the impetus so that people come back and they want to come to the Opera House again and again and mm-hmm. again. That's important to me.
The tendency I have to say to you is, have you ever been out in rural Kentucky? But aside from that, do you physically send speakers out to schools out around the state? I mean, how do you go about bringing interest in the opera to places that don't have it?
I think the simplest thing to do is to start with schools and to send. We have, young artists that we send out with a piano and a keyboard, and we go out and they become ambassadors of the art form. And maybe that's excerpts from the opera, or maybe it's a small staged version of an opera itself that's truncated. Mm-hmm. But you hope that you get out there, and so that you wow children at a certain age with what is an amazing talent. You know, you hear an opera singer up close, it's gonna take you by surprise.
Well, everybody doesn't have parents who are in the opera, right?
That's it.
So you have to take it to them. So
that's right.
That's an interesting approach. In terms of what the opera is doing, around the set, what would a success be in terms of that outreach effort? What would that look like?
Well, I think outreach, as far as a success, is planting a seed so that, a few years from now, I'm walking into the opera house and someone comes to me that's now much older and says, I remember coming, or you guys coming to my school when I was young, and that inspired me, and I took up an interest in the arts, and I am doing X, Y, and Z, and I'm now here and I'm buying a ticket.
Yeah.
That's a success.
Okay.
That's a success.
Okay.
And, but that's an outreach coming back into the opera house. But, the success is also, me having somebody that buys a ticket from Madame Butterfly and decides that they want to come see Abduction from the Seraglio, and they want to come see the Mikado as a result of how good the production was that they just saw. Or okay. Maybe they come back and see it again.
Okay.
That's heard of, too.
Okay. All right. Now, I know that your job here encompasses the financial aspect of the opera, too. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, many years ago there was controversy over that, I guess. But from your perspective now, is everything in good shape? Is that going to be a tall task? I know you got to fundraise, right?
You have to. And that's a goal on everyone's agenda. There's mm-hmm. there's no question about that. But we're in good shape. And it is my charge to make sure that the dreams and aspirations that we have are fit with pragmatic and practical decisions along the way. And we have to grow together. So your dreams have a price tag.
Okay.
And we have to make sure that we are raising the money at the same time to fit that price
tag.
And
the opera, and pardon me for not knowing this, but you get your funding through, obviously, donations. But any other sources? Or?
Well, it's various sources. You have income that is corporate sponsorships. You have individual donors. You have we do get some money in from ticket sales, not enough to cover the cost of doing any number of productions, but
okay.
It comes from various areas and grants. Wherever we can see that we can get the money, we're gonna.
And you got obviously your job to explore all those areas.
That's right.
How many people work here at the opera?
The staff is, including me, I think we're at 10 now.
Okay.
So it's lean and mean.
Lean and mean. Well, very good. Well, I know you're excited about the new job, and how you like Louisville so far?
I love it. There's nothing I haven't. I stumble upon something new every day, and I try to take a different road home, which presents its own challenges, but I am learning, and it's such a beautiful city, and the people are so warm and sincere and inviting, and that's just made everything really, really seamless.
And there you have it. Thanks to Ian Dare for allowing me to come up. His office is there on the Brown Theater on Broadway, and This is the second time I've been up there. Really enjoyed a visit with him up there, and I really, really enjoyed. And I'm sorry you didn't get the full interview. Having lunch at Captain's Quarters with Hickory Vaught, it was a blast. And we'll have Hickory on again. Go see him this weekend at either Thursday night at Marriott or the Kentucky Bluegrass and Bourbon Experience downtown at the Water Tower Saturday and Sunday. I think Hickory is playing at 5 o'clock on Saturday, and that ought to be a blast. Ought to be a blast. I hope to see you at the Mayor's Hike, Bike, and Paddle down there. I know Jackie Green won't be there, but I will. And looking forward to riding along the city streets without having to worry about any cars. That's what's fun about that. All right. Time for a few thank yous. Certainly my sponsors, Passport Health Plan and Eye Care Institute, make this show possible. I really appreciate their support of the Rusty Satellite Show. And I've got a great team of people that helped me make this happen and come together, starting with producer Dan Vonderhyde, my web guy Jason Smith, Jackie Bentley, post stories on LouisvilleKY.com, and my partner in crime at EatDrinkTalk.net, which has a new show coming up on Friday, is Steve Coombs, who's celebrating a birthday on Thursday. And wish Steve a happy birthday if you see him. There's a bunch of things coming up in the Eat Drink Talk world. I hope you listen to that one too. We're all on the Louisville.am network. You can find us on iTunes. Please subscribe and tell us how much you like it on the iTunes website. So that's going to do it for this episode of the Rusty Satellite Show. I will be back. I will have two more of the most interesting people in the Ville with me next week. Until then, let's go Cards.
Thanks for listening to the Rusty Satellite Podcast with your host, Rick Redding. Next week, Rick will be right back here on Louisville.am with another stellar lineup of great guests. You can let Rick know what you think by sending an email to rick@louisvilleky.com. He's on Twitter, too, at Ricky Redding. For more information about the show, including photos of Rusty Satellite Show guests, go to LouisvilleKY.com, the pulse of the city. Airplanes in the buildings every time I